Welcome to another installment of your favorite podcast, the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. I'm the guy that brings every single episode of this podcast live and indirectly from Providence, Rhode Island via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. How are you doing tonight? Or this afternoon? Or this morning? Whenever you're listening to this episode, episode number 60, gotta be honest, how many people thought I would get to episode 60? I mean, it was just a couple years ago when I started this little podcast to entertain people, to express my opinions, my views on things, and what do you know? I've managed to get to 60. How about that? Well, anywho, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to hear on this episode of the PVD Cast. I have a very good friend of mine. His name is Matt. He lives in Atlanta with his family. We are college pals. And we've always joked that we wanted to have our own morning radio show, you know, like the Morning Zoo here in Columbus on WNCI. We wanted to do that. That was always a big joke of ours. And, well, hey, man, now you have this podcasting technology. And so I was talking to him a couple weeks ago. I go, hey, man, you need to come on, you know, because he made a joke about it again. I was like, you should come on. It's like a radio show. And so he agreed. So thanks to some Skype time, we sat down and talked about a couple different things, you know, including, you know, some of our history, and then talked a little bit about movies and a little bit about sports. But this episode's kind of a little bit of a hodgepodge, because not only did Matt and I talk about those topics, but when you are finished listening to my conversation with my buddy Matt, you're going to hear about some things going on with Ohio Championship Wrestling. And, well, you know I'm synonymous with OCW. There's going to be a big event coming January 24th. OCW presents Ascension. It's the annual event. And if you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, I will explain it in great detail at the back end of this episode of the PVD Cast. We're going to be in Dover, Ohio at the Dover National Guard Armory. And that's the first time that we have been in that area in a very, very long time. In fact, I probably would guess to say about 4 or 5 years ago, we would periodically run shows in Stralsburg, Ohio. But OCW hasn't been in that neck of the woods in some time, so I'm excited. I think I can speak for everybody in OCW. We're very excited to come out to Dover and entertain the fans. So I'm going to talk quite a bit about that at the end of this episode of the PVD Cast. So let me throw it to a break, and then when I come out of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with my good friend Matt, so stick around. Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet, and it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North, and you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this installment of the PVD Cast. I'm John Orlando here, and as I mentioned, I'm on the line with my good friend, Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad on this Sunday afternoon. You know, it's a very big sports weekend for especially the NFL. Who do you like coming out of those games real quick? Because you got New England and Indianapolis and Seattle and Green Bay, and I know one of the games is going on right now. I think it's the Indianapolis New England game, right? Is that the first one up?
I haven't had a chance to look yet, and I don't... I mean, I'm really indifferent. I don't have anything against any of them. I'm a little tired of New England, but whatever it is, I don't have... it's not Baltimore. It's not Cleveland, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I guess I'm looking it up right now. I guess that the AFC title game is this evening, I guess, according to the schedule here that I'm looking at. In fact, I'll double-check that and make sure. Personally, myself, I'm going to go. I'd like to see Seattle. I'd like to see Seattle go again. And likewise, I don't really care about the New England Patriots as much as that's going to cause some gripes among some of my listeners, I'm sure. I don't
especially
know.
Especially your listeners in New England.
Yes, well, especially all the New England, all the New Englanders are going to be perturbed at that one, but I'd like to see Indianapolis go, too. I'd just like to see somebody different. I mean, the Patriots have won it so many times, you know?
In your neck of the woods, though, does anything else matter than what happened last week?
In the capital city of Columbus? No. No, pretty much football season ended last Monday. So, you know. Though, quite frankly, it never ends. But I digress. You know.
I was thrilled, though, with them in the playoff game because I pretty much, when you live in my neck of the woods, you're inundated with a certain conference and you want to root.
It's the SEC.
But, yeah. But it's been pretty obnoxious, and you're told not only how tough the conference is, but how difficult that division is, and that division didn't do so well the SEC West. So it was fun to watch.
Well, you get a lot of Georgia Bulldog, right? In your neck
of
the woods, all right.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is. As much as there's hatred of rivals of whatever SEC school is, there's this rigid, robust solidarity with the conference and the chanting of SEC. It's very obnoxious. And then when you're told, well, they beat each other up, as opposed to every other conference when you're in the Big Ten or any other conference, they're playing your rivals and your regular conference games, you're not beating each other up. It's the same thing. And I think that led to conflated rankings. I don't know how much you paid attention, but both of the Mississippi teams both got ranked very high and then fell rapidly, and both did not do very well in their respective bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it fed on itself. Not to take away from talent or coaching. Or anything like that, but I think that there was advantages, and there was a perfect storm. And I think it's over for a little bit. I think the last 2 years have kind of shook things up. I think the playoff would be good for college football overall.
Well, since we're talking about sports, what's the sports scene down in Atlanta? I mean, do most people support the Falcons, the Braves, the Hawks, or is one more dominant than the other? Like, people really support the Falcons and could care less about the Hawks.
The Thrashers.
Or the Thrashers. You know what? I'm just going to say it. In terms of hockey, that's how you know Atlanta sucks. But they lost not one franchise, but two franchises. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, what? The Flames, correct. For those that don't know, the Calgary Flames used to be the Atlanta Flames in the early 80s, and then they relocated to Calgary, and then, of course, Atlanta got the Thrashers. Yeah, they had success up in Calgary. Then the Atlanta Thrashers came, and they lasted a few years, and then they went back to Winnipeg. So, well, not back to, but Winnipeg got a new franchise, which is the Winnipeg Jets, which they lost to Phoenix. So... But you didn't answer the question. Is most people like a Braves fan? And like, in other words, is there a franchise down there that nobody cares about?
There's a fair amount of fans of I think of each team. I work with a fair number of Atlantans, and There's a lot of people that aren't from here.
Right, no, but I like the term, Atlanta.
There have been times where I've worked with very few people that are from here.
Right, that's true.
It's kind of a mixed bag right now, and there's, I'd say there's, the Braves might be the most popular, I think. And even still, if you go to a Braves game, you're going to find a number of people who are either relocated or for whatever reason support mm-hmm. the other team.
Yeah.
And, college football is pretty big.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to say it's bigger than right here in central Ohio, but nonetheless. Hey, so since we're talking sports, thoughts on the NHL, the season so far?
Honestly, I wish I could talk a lot about that, but I get to see so little of it. It's one of the things that's kind of bummed me out is it's been hard to keep up.
Well, especially when you don't have a franchise anymore, too.
Yeah, that doesn't help. It doesn't help.
No.
And you wanted to root for them, too, because why not?
Well, okay, I get what you're saying. You know, why not root for the home team? But sometimes when the home team's not very good, as in here.
They were no threat, you know.
No, I mean, you know, I think that's the thing that many Jackets fans here in Columbus have over the years, not over the last couple of years, but in previous seasons, I think that's what has hindered that team is that people don't get behind them because they're not winning on a regular basis. And
we're not the hockey hotbed that Florida is that over the years, you know, if you remember the Panthers. I remember when they beat the Penguins in 96.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. Yep. Well, first of all, I'm the first one to say that Florida doesn't need to have a franchise. They should because they can't fill any seats. Even right now with a decent season, they're not selling out. So if a city doesn't care, then pack up the franchise and move it to somewhere else. Give it to Seattle, give it to Quebec, give it to Kansas City, give it to whoever. You know?
That there's been several months ago about the possibility of some other cities, and I think it's a missed opportunity on the NHL's part not to have made sure that certain northern markets have teams. I mean, it's great to try and expand to different regions, but it's silly, especially when you think of the gaps in the western part of the country that. Definitely Seattle, and I would argue Portland, too. Portland may not be big enough to support another team.
Yeah.
But if that weren't the issue, first off, they'd be natural rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have somewhere else on the West Coast for the California teams because there's a big gap between in terms of geography.
Yeah. No, and I don't understand because Seattle's had a free... decades they've had a very good junior program up there, you know, that those kids that play in the Seattle system in juniors play in that Western Hockey Association and they play all those Western Canadian teams, so you have a built-in understanding of the game and a fandom for the game. I don't understand why they have it, because clearly they don't have the fandom in Arizona or Florida, so why care? And it still boggles my mind that Arizona/Phoenix, whatever, the Coyotes have never turned a profit. Ever. I don't understand.
Well, it could have been them a few years ago instead of the Thrashers, but they got the state to give the subsidize them, so.
Yeah, which is total BS. I don't understand. But what about, there's been a lot of talk about putting a franchise in Vegas. Would you like the NHL in Vegas?
I think it would have the same problems as Phoenix and some other cities. And
So it's not just so much because there's always been that argument that no pro team should be in Vegas. Just
I know there's gambling. A big thing. I think I don't know if in reality if what that matters. I mean, someone I brought up the point recently that you look at other cities. Technically, there's gambling. A lot of cities have these one-off casinos.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Orleans, Pittsburgh, I mean, I think all the Ohio cities have casinos now. Mm-hmm. So many cities have. And I think there's another separate issue with that when you give these cities, there's one casino, they have no incentive to be a cool casino. So most often they're pretty ugly. And,
well, I mean, okay.
There's no incentive to go all out like they do in Vegas. I'm not saying that there should be an Eiffel Tower on the Allegheny. Well, maybe there should be an Eiffel Tower on the Allegheny, but...
Well, you know what? Okay, so if we're going to switch gears... We're going to switch gears and get political here for a minute. I'm totally against the whole idea of having gambling in your state because I don't believe it's a long-term economic fix for your woes. I think it's in the short term it does create jobs. It does help your economy. But in the long term, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years down the road, it's dragging down your economy.
Well, it's part of a local economy's disposable income, right? It's the same as going to a movie or something, just going there. The only way it's really helpful is if you're getting out-of-town dollars.
Right.
Like Vegas does.
Right.
If you're not importing people's money,
yeah,
then you're just taking the pockets of local... And that's fine. If people want to do that, if that's how they want to spend their entertainment dollars, then that's how you should view it, because it's a business. You're not... For the most people, they're not going to really win, so to speak.
No.
I'm not talking about table games either, which a lot of these have minimal amounts of. They're mostly just these...
The one-armed bandits, computer. Man.
Yeah.
All right. So. Okay, so, you know, real quickly, since it is a new year, and I saved this, I want you to know, I saved two articles from the Providence Journal for my trip back to Providence.
Providence? Okay.
That's right.
Providence, okay.
So the Providence Journal here had two articles. I'm gonna get your take on it, because as soon as I read this one, I was like, I gotta mention this to Matt. Because let's be honest, I'm gonna tell the listeners, we've been working on this for quite a few weeks, trying to get things coordinated so we could do this podcast. Because, you know, we've always wanted to have our own radio show.
That's right.
That's right. And man, oh man, now we do. It's only 20 years later. Anyways, all right, so here's the article. 10 things you should not buy in 2015. Okay, so I guess it's in the business section of the Providence Journal about things that you should consider not buying. Here we go. So I'll throw them out there. You tell me what you think about them, okay? So number one on the list, cable television. Obviously, through the technology of Roku, Apple TV, Google, et cetera, cable TV is maybe not the best way to spend your money. What do you think?
I think it depends on what you watch. If you're pretty limited and there's just certain TV shows, you can do it. It still can be a pain depending on what application you can watch those shows on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go to different sources and pay different things. It's not like your cable bill where it's one thing. You got to pay Hulu. You got to pay Netflix. You got to pay possibly some other service for your shows, for your program. And up until recently, that didn't solve for sports and news, cable news, that is.
Correct.
Now, sports may be taken care of with the new Dish bundle. I forget what it's called. You may have heard about it. Where they're packaging ESPN, I assume more than one ESPN, and some other popular cable channels for something like $20 a month, which doesn't sound like a bad deal right now. I'm sure it'll go up because those are big channels.
And I think that I just recently saw in the latest update of Apple TV here at my house that there are more news channels out there. I think Bloomberg has one now. I think there's Fox News. There's not a CNN, but I think there's a BBC. So, you know, I agree with you, as I think as technology continues to roll out, more and more networks will put stuff out there on those particular devices.
For me, we're not there yet. I don't think that it's still evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Depends if you have pretty limited viewing. It depends on what you're... If there's certain cable channels you watch, it could work. You could probably do something. There's certain programs you like to watch.
I know two people that are doing it. My good friend Dara and my brother are doing it, and they actually are very pleased with it. They just have their high-speed internet, and they have their accounts to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and they do a good job. Of course, though, you know, you're absolutely right. My friend Dara mapped out every show his family and he watch and figured out how they could get those shows. Same with my brother, who really doesn't watch that much television, so it was not really a no-brainer for them. I don't know. Do you think that with the technology we'll ever get a la carte cable?
A la carte cable sounds like a good thing, but it individually, the popular channels would be expensive, and it would add up. I think it's out of control now how much you all pay for cable, but...
Oh, I agree. Wholeheartedly. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay.
Again.
Go ahead.
It could add up.
Yeah. All right, well, here we go. Number two. One that I'm going to be looking at. The second thing you shouldn't buy in 2015 is name brand razor blades. I guess due to the Dollar Shave Club that many people are jumping on that, and reviewers are saying that those generic blades are as good as the high-priced named ones like Gillette and whatnot. Your thoughts? Should you buy it or not?
Is that a new thing? Generic?
Yeah.
Blades?
Apparently, man. I mean, have you not seen the ads for, like,
I get the Dollar Shave. They advertise heavily on Facebook.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Yeah, no? I'm going to try them out, to be honest with you.
I think they should be tried.
All right. There you go. All right, third thing. You should not buy bottled water in 2015.
Why?
Because they're stating here about 45% of bottled water brands are sourced from municipal water supplies, says Peter Gaelic, a scientist and author of Bottled and Sold. Consumers can often just purify their own tap water using Brita or Pure and save about... $15 a pop on those.
Oh, I would think that most people use their tap water at home, whether they filter it or not.
For me,
bottled water is only when you're out somewhere. So to me, it wouldn't make a difference. If you're out somewhere, you have no choice.
Yeah, right. Well, I use bottled water when I'm...
fill up.
Yeah. Gotcha. I was going to say, I use bottled water a lot of times when I'm coaching, just because I don't want to deal with remembering, do I still have that, you know, that water bottle? You know, you can just toss it, so...
That's a little different, too, because that's kind of a stationary thing. You know you're going to be there whatever day
it
is. Right. Bottle. It'd be the same as bringing it to work or something like that. But I'm talking about when you're out and about somewhere,
mm-hmm.
that you errands or whatever else. It's some people may do it, but I don't think most people do.
Okay, the fourth thing you should not buy, credit monitoring and ID theft insurance.
Honestly, I don't.
Well, I don't have it either. But they're stating that nowadays most credit cards and banks
Hopefully your audience isn't too shady.
Yeah, well.
Take advantage.
Yeah, so I don't know. They're saying that since most banks already provide that to you, it's stupid to buy your additional. I know this is one that's going to be heavily discussed. So the fifth thing they said you shouldn't buy in 2015, DVDs and CDs.
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It depends. I mean, I like to be able to watch things when I want to watch them. I still cling on to the physical collection.
Yeah. I'm the same way, man.
You can't just watch anything. There's a number of movies where if you're paying for Netflix, they won't have.
Right.
Or other. So it still makes sense. I know several coworkers. They don't care. They're happy to just watch whatever, or they get Netflix and it works for them. But I'm not there yet.
To me, there's a certain like, hey, I own this, like some pride. Like, look, I have this. You know what I mean? Like, it's the collector in me. It's the comic book geek in me. You know what I mean? Like, I want to say I have this physical thing. You know.
What are you going to do when your Wi-Fi goes down and a storm or some other problem? And you're going to I can pop in a DVD. No, you can't because you got rid of them all.
Yeah. Jerk face.
Take that.
Got rid of them all. Bam. Kabam. All right. Number.
Send hipsters.
You whippersnappers. All right. Number six.
By the way, the hipsters are into audio cassettes, by the way.
Wait, you got to repeat that. You kind of broke up there. What did you just say about audio cassettes?
Yes, there is a group of people that are into audio cassettes. I'm not one of them.
Neither am I, but who? Like the hipsters? In Atlanta? Yes. Or into it? Really?
No, wow. I'm not referencing Atlanta. It's a national article I read somewhere. I can't remember, but but yes, you can. There was somewhat of a joke, but somebody wanted to start. I don't know if you heard of National Record Store Day.
Yeah, of course.
Now vinyls make a comeback, but there are legitimate reasons to like vinyl.
Right.
Maybe one could argue legitimate reasons like cassettes. I don't know, but.
I get the whole vinyl, like, hey, man, you know, just, it's got a different sound to it. It, you know, it's got that raw sound to it. What are the cassettes?
Well, and I actually just read that Guardians of the Galaxy had the second best selling cassette of 2015.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's part of the gimmick of the movie. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I'm surprised it's not number one. What's number one, then?
It was in the article, it was.
Please tell me it was a Jodeci cassette. That would be awesome. Jodeci is making a comeback. That would be sweet.
No, it's the same cassettes. It was a Hispanic singer.
A Hispanic singer.
Yeah, okay. I don't recall his name.
Was it El Bronco? That was an inside joke that nobody listening got, so should we I'm going to explain. You had a friend in college who was of Mexican heritage, right? I mean, his mom was Mexican, his father was not, you know? And one day he just pulled up in his car playing this ridiculous, like, Hispanic rap music, and it was El Bronco, which...
You remember that? Wow, I did not remember that.
You don't remember that? He pulled up his Mustang, man, and there was some funky ass hip hop music going on, and I'm like, what is that? And he goes, it's El Bronco. I'm like, oh, well, excuse me. I didn't
have a Bronco.
Yeah.
El Bronco. I did find recently, I was going through some boxes and I found a couple really old things. One of which was a Kasingle.
Nice.
Gangsta's Paradise.
All right. Nicely done.
The B-side was the lame thing that they would do sometimes for B-sides, which was the instrumental version.
Oh, yeah, I hated that, yeah.
Minus the vocals.
Yeah. It's lazy, man. It's lazy.
I found the script to season one episode of The Sopranos.
Why do you have that?
Well, it took me a while to remember. Like, where did I get this from? And back in my media buying days, a rep who was with essentially Time Warner.
Yeah.
You know, HBO's part of Time Warner. He used to give us HBO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a script. He must have, you know, had in their office. And I'd forgotten all about it. Got buried in a box.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other quote stuff you might find in a few years when you're cleaning out again. Here's number six on this list of things you shouldn't buy in 2015. Computer memory sticks. What do you think?
Well, if you need them, what are you supposed to do?
Well, you're supposed to use the cloud services now. Dropbox, Google Drive, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know.
We save pictures. We back them up sometimes on that. We have a backup drive, too. But
yeah.
In my car, there's a USB port, and I use it to play music.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not into the streaming of music in the car because I just don't want to be bothered to use my phone for something else.
I agree.
And I have XM, so I'm covered with music. So,
well, number seven, I don't think on this list pertains to either one of us. Online dating subscriptions. I'm not in the market for that anymore. You are not either, so I think that one we don't really need to even comment on, right? Because it doesn't pertain to us.
So what they say the alternative is to that,
other than real life. Hey, you social degenerates, get out there and meet people. Anyways,
a non-virtual method is what I meant to say.
Free online dating apps.
What's that?
Free apps like OkCupid.
Okay, well, isn't that the same thing?
I don't argue.
A lot of things are now apps that are. That's just another way to the same service and whatever.
Number eight, boutique moonshine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, first of all, to me...
Yeah, I get mine at Walmart.
I brew mine in the bathtub, so I don't need that fancy shit.
I get Sam's.
Sam's. It's nice.
Or the Kirkland brand. The Kirkland brand.
The Kirkland brand of moonshine. There you go. Anyways. All right, number 9, mini tablets. You shouldn't buy those in 2015. Because...
What, because they're bigger?
Yeah, because phones are getting bigger. In fact, they in this article, they call them phablets. They're a phone tablet. Uh-huh. Phablets. And the last one was 4K TVs.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't think the technology's there just yet in order to do that. So
here's the thing. Well, the technology's there. That's the TV. The problem is there's nothing to watch on it.
Right.
What are you
going to
watch? 4K? You're going to spend all this money on a TV that you can't watch anything on.
Right. Right.
Supposedly 4K players are coming out. You can buy 4K discs later this year, I think, or after the holidays. But I'm in no hurry to convert yet again.
Yeah, same. Because what am I going to do with all my laser discs?
Yeah, what are you going to do with
them? I don't have any. I'm just being a dick.
I know. Well, are you familiar with what I think RCA or somebody had in the early 80s? It was like a video disc. Well, it was a video disc, but it worked like a vinyl record. You put it on this turntable-like thing, and that's how it operated.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
As far as I know, there's not an 8-track equivalent of video, but I guess video discs. But,
the same hipsters that love cassettes love video disc players.
Yes.
Laser disc players and that. Yeah, that's it. Probably. Anyways. Yeah. All right, well, here's my other article that I had to bring home from the Providence Journal because I found it hilarious, and I think you're going to find it hilarious. So, apparently there was a professor. There's a professor at the University of Rhode Island, College of Pharmacy. I'm not going to mention her name, but anyways, she apparently is under investigation for not necessarily following through with particular prescriptions, okay? So basically she would defraud the government through some insurance racket of supposedly she ordered these particular prescriptions, but they never were filled, but she was reimbursed from the government, okay? However...
You know what? I got me about this.
What?
I think I saw something about this.
Yeah, well, she was... Here's the best part. She was busted because of the phony names she used on the prescriptions, and it says, and I quote, "The phony names included L.L. Bean, Harry Potter, Mike Marker, and Carol Sharpie, according to the indictment," end quote. You would think if you could make through pharmacy school, you could at least come up with some other aliases for your fake defrauding of the government than Harry Potter and L.L. Bean.
Yeah. Wow, that's...
That's all you got.
Wow.
Yes, I agree, John. That's all I got.
I would come up with some other names, but I can't think of them. I'm not that witty.
Would you, like, Seymour Butts?
Yeah. Or the person who announced the Oscars the other day, if you heard her little mishap.
Dick Poop. Yeah, Dick Poop. Yeah. Not so much Dick
and
Poop.
And I heard that live.
Yeah.
I heard that live on my way to work. And I did a double take. I'm like, did she just say that? And I heard her kind of catch herself. And by that point, there were people in the audience laughing.
Yeah.
And,
so
that's done then. That's forever now.
I know. And sadly, someone like in Mississippi or Arkansas named Richard Poop is getting a lot of congratulatory phone calls, you know, and he's confused. Probably.
Yes.
I would hope.
He's waiting for us to the center.
Speaking of movies, that is one passion that you and I both share. So,
I'm glad that movies is the word that came out of your mouth, given what you last referred to. Where do you think with that? Okay. Speaking of movies,
what did you think about the Oscars? What do you think about all the nods?
It seemed...
Pretty, have you seen any of them? Have you seen any of the nominated films yet? Because I have not. I will freely admit.
I have not. The last 2 or 3 years, I've seen very little, and I'm going to go back to one previously that you've talked about, but now that I have the opportunity to speak about it.
Okay. Right.
Before I do that, no, I saw the X-Men movie last year. And okay. Trying to think of what else. In terms of movies that were true 2014 movies.
Okay, that would be X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes, which I thought was pretty good.
Yes, it was very good. I liked it too.
I wasn't in the know to stay through the credits, though.
Yes, I know. We talked about that.
Although I should watch it. I got the, because, yes, I still buy a physical product. I do have the Blu-ray of that, so I need to actually sit and watch it and watch through the credits.
Cool.
But I did, as I was listening to the nominations, and I became familiar with what the quote-unquote good movies were last year, of what to expect. A lot of it seemed what you would expect them to announce. Apparently it was a little bit of a diss that Jennifer Aniston did not get nominated.
Well,
they knew nothing about her movie.
Wait, what'd you say there? You broke up on me there for a minute.
I don't know anything about that movie, though.
Oh, same.
And then they did the Best Picture nominations, and I heard Selma mentioned, and which I'm curious to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised. Like, this is the first I'm hearing of this movie, so I'm surprised that this movie did not get any other nominations. Of course, there's been a big backlash about...
About it not...
Yeah, and it seems that movie is a bit of Best Picture quality, and from the buzz about it, it seemed like it's a pretty good movie that somebody might have been nominated.
Well, I was familiar with it a few months back, like right around when they wrapped up the filming of it, because I will admit I follow Wendell Pierce, one of the stars on Twitter, and he started to tweet out things about it, so I was familiar about with the film prior to it coming out, but... Here's the thing that I've heard that blew my mind. While I've heard reviews of it, and I've heard that it's good, not historically accurate, okay? But the weird part is that they could not use Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches in the film because for purposes of fictional movies, Spielberg bought the copyright to his actual speeches to use in that format or in that genre, and you can't do it. So they had to, like, paraphrase everything to avoid getting sued by Spielberg and his company.
Huh. I would have thought
that's crazy.
That would fall under some sort of public domain kind of thing.
That's what I thought.
If he owns it, what's he sitting on it for? Do something with it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's like, I'll get around to that Martin Luther King movie sometime. Because I guess he bought it like years ago, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why people do what they do, but there you go. I got to say that in terms of the Oscars myself, there was only really one movie that I wanted to see. I wanted to see the movie by Richard Linklater, Boyhood. I wanted to see that. I never got a chance to see it. And I know it got nominated for quite a few awards. I've heard from some folks that have seen it that you're just going to see it for the gimmick of seeing, oh, this took 12 years to make, you know?
That is a tough gimmick. And I would think that's going to give it some advantages. You know, Hollywood likes its gimmicks.
Yeah, right.
Which, there is a gimmick that they didn't fall for, and that was 20 years ago when Hoop Dreams came out. I shouldn't say fall for, it was a really good documentary, and it did not get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who did it, Roger Ebert, was a big fan of, and the documentary on Ebert, Life Itself, did not get a nomination. So at least they're consistent in not nominating this guy.
Well, you know, hey, at least it's not like Susan Lucci. You know, you get nominated all the time and never win, which is worse, you know? Not getting nominated at all.
She then, eventually.
Well, yeah, like, you know, later when she was an old hag, she did. Yeah, like 30 years later or whatever. I mean, crying out loud, you know? I mean, So, anyways, is there anything out that you want to see, movie-wise? Now, I know with your family, you know, sometimes it's tough to get out to the theater and whatnot. I understand that, you know, but...
It's hard to get excited to try and orchestrate to go see something out, so a lot of times, like, okay, I want to see, like, some I'd go see, and I'm curious about the movie you mentioned, and there's a few others. I've always been intrigued by stories about the whole Enigma storyline, so that movie... Is interesting.
The Imitation Game? Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit more about him than it is about the...
Yeah, yeah. The actual code cracking. Yeah.
they could affect him, yeah. But that could still be a fascinating story nonetheless. I need to know a little bit more about it if it's something that I really want to you know, check out. But those movies, I think, will definitely be rentals or whatever.
For me right now, there's three out there I'd like to see. I'd like to see Birdman. I really think that would be an interesting, you know, the Michael Keaton film. I would really like to check that out. It also got nominated for a lot of awards. I would like to see Foxcatcher. Because I think that Steve Carell would be very good as wacky John DuPont, and I remember when all that went down. And last but not least, I'd like to check out P.T. Anderson's new one, Inherent Vice. I think it's got I think it's got a lot of cool characters in it, just cool actors and actresses in it, and the story seems to be out there. And, you know, for me, P.T. Anderson, I'm hit and miss with. Some of the stuff I've really liked and some of the stuff I haven't liked, you know. I think that you talked about. Go ahead.
He's definitely a hit or miss director. But I do want to say that I've read mixed reviews, but the subject and the style of it seems appealing. And I did not. I'm not a Wes Anderson fan. I'm pivoting here. But I wouldn't mind seeing his movie.
I'm no fan of Wes Anderson. I do not care about the Grand Budapest Hotel. I just don't get it. I don't get the Wes Anderson films. I don't get what's so great about them. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I agree. I agree.
Hey, but I'll tell you what I watched this weekend. So I was visiting some relatives in Eastern Ohio, and it's a movie that I haven't seen in a very long time. And as a matter of fact, as I started watching it, I don't think I ever finished it, and I watched it on TBS. I do remember that. But my cousin and I sat down and watched Mars Attacks last night, the campy Tim Burton film about, you know, the Topps trading cards from the 1950s that were so violent they pulled them from the market. And I gotta say, it was a delightful little...
I think it's a well-liked movie.
Yeah, it's a campy, just dorky film. It was enjoyable to watch. It was just fun to watch. It didn't really make me laugh out loud a lot, but it was just fun to watch. It was cool, and I dug it. And I was surprised how many people were in that film, because there's a lot of people in that film, not just the main stars. You know, because you have obviously Nicholson and Glenn Close, Pierce Brosnan. Michael J. Fox, Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, but then you have Tom Jones and Jim Brown and Pam Grier and Joe Don Baker, and a very young Ray J was in it. So and Jack Black, who was very young at the time too. So it was really cool. It was neat to pick out those like oddball people that you didn't anticipate to be in the film.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of something from that era, there's been a lot of clips of Matthew McConaughey's audition for Dazed and Confused, and it's not new. It's if you have the DVD, or at least the Criterion one, it has it on it. But anyway, just that movie still holds up. It's a great movie.
Oh, Dazed and Confused is awesome. Yes, I agree. I do not have the Criterion DVD. I have the regular version that I think has very little special features at all on it, but I love Dazed and Confused. You know what? I always get a hankering to watch it right at the end of the school year. I do. I'm serious. Like, I'm like, man, it's May 17th. I want to watch Dazed and Confused. And so, you know.
Yeah. So, last year, we've talked offline about this briefly, but you talked about American Hustle. And, you know, it won some awards, then came Oscar time, and it just got nothing. Some friends of mine here, they just don't care for that movie.
Well, this is where this podcast takes a turn for the worse, because you and I are both going to disagree on this, because I agree with your coworkers. I did not much care for it.
A lot of people don't, but I think the expectations are just off on what the movie is. Part of it is people are finding it slow, or I'm not sure. but I've watched it more than a few times since I saw it in the theater, and I just, there's just, to me, a lot to like in that movie.
All right. We're going to agree to disagree on that, because I did not much care for it, but there you have it.
Well, you've had some time now to, I'm moving on now. We'll let that go.
You're going to try to convince me? You're going to be like, no, John, you're wrong. It's great.
No, I'm going to go on to another subject matter we discussed last year that I inspired, and that's the world of V.
And yes.
I don't know if I had a chance to hear you talk about it or if you had a chance to watch the follow-up miniseries, V the Final Battle.
No, I have not watched V the Final Battle. I only got to watch the original, which was, again, you talk about campy fun. I mean, that is simply the best way to describe that. It was fun to watch. Like I said, I was kind of not allowed to watch it as a kid, which, again, someone pointed out, is very ironic given the fact that your parents would let you watch steel cage matches where men bled to death almost, yet you weren't allowed to watch a fictional show about aliens taking over the Earth. But it was fun. I have yet to procure a copy of V the Final Battle. I've got to try to see if it's out there somewhere dirt cheap and get a copy of it.
I mean, to buy it is very cheap. It's inexpensive.
Okay. So, keep an eye out.
If we talked about subscription services, you might be able to watch it on Netflix or something.
Maybe. Well, here's two things you just emailed me or messaged me about, okay, which one I do want to talk about, but the other one I'm completely clueless. So you said you wanted to talk about the fact that Marvel got back the license to do Star Wars comics, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty up to it in the comic book world, but I saw that in my news feed, and mm-hmm. I kind of liked the cover, and it's Star Wars. Honestly, I don't even know, other than going to a comic book store, like, where I would even buy a comic book. I assume Barnes & Noble sells a few, but that's about it.
Barnes & Noble's more looks at collections, like soft covers, trade paperbacks.
I know they have a collection.
Yeah. Your best bet would be a comic book store, but, you know, here's the thing to fill you in on this. Marvel got the rights to start doing the Star Wars. As a matter of fact, I believe they put out an omnibus already of the original Marvel run of the 80s. It's three giant volumes that you can get of all those particular runs.
It's just a, this is the result of Disney owning them.
It's about Disney owning Star Wars and Marvel and just synergy, man, synergy. Well, here's the thing, though, that many people don't realize. So, in the mid-80s, I think it was like 86 or 87, you know, Star Wars was not a hot seller, and that's why Marvel dropped the book, because the comic wasn't selling a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And about a year later, Dark Horse picked it up, and Dark Horse went ahead and started to produce their own Star Wars tales. Well, now that the rights went back to Marvel, Dark Horse is forbidden from reprinting or reproducing the stories that they did. Which is unheard of in the comic book industry, because, I mean, that's not usually how it is. For an example, IDW Comics had the Angel comic book, you know, from the Buffy universe. And when they let the license lapse and Dark Horse picked it back up, IDW still can print their stuff that they did of Angel. So this is unheard of. This is unheard of that...
Disney's a master of brand control and...
Yeah, they got a strong pimp hand, don't they?
I'd heard that story. That's pretty crazy, though. They should at least acquire it. I'd imagine those old copies are worth a fortune now.
And Dark Horse put out some good stories. I have a few. In fact, as I look over here on the shelf, I have Jabba the Hutt, The Art of the Deal, which was a really good, like, six-issue story about Jabba the Hutt. There was a Boba Fett one, which I can't remember what it's called. I'm looking. Boba Fett. Death, Lies, and Treachery. It was very good. I mean, I remember the Crimson Empire stories. They were good. So, I mean, it sucks that Dark Horse can't re-put those back out, which is unfortunate. But you're right. Disney's got a very firm grasp on their particular intellectual property.
So are you buying this new title?
Excuse me?
Will you buy the new title?
I don't know. Here's the thing. Jason Aaron has done some really good work that I like, and he's done some that I'm not too fond of. I liked Jason Aaron's run on Punisher. It was very well done. I did not really get into Scalped, which was his big, big breakout hit. I just didn't really dig it. So I don't know. You know, I've said many times before now, Matt, the way that the industry is, it's just cheaper to buy the soft covers when they come out. Because you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 8 months. You don't have to wait 2 years to get the collection. It's there the same month that the storyline usually wraps up now.
So most things are designed to be storylines that they put into an anthology kind of thing?
Well, I mean, they just do the anthologies right after that. I mean, I don't know if it's designed by that, if it's premeditated in that terms, they just do it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. speaking of an anthology, you also said you wanted to talk about Marvel Comics Wolfpack. I'm going to be honest, man, I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't know anything about that book.
I was going through, like I mentioned earlier, I was going through some boxes, and I have what's left of my comic books. The regular edition comic books are still in boxes. They're still taped up. I haven't really gone through them. But graphic novels were put into this clumsy kind of box, and they're obviously too big to fit with the other comic books. And I opened this up the other day, and lo and behold, there's some graphic novels. The Death of Gru, which I remember fondly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm curious to read through that again. Some Batman one, something that was a devil or something? I can't remember what it was called. And a few other things. The old X-Men, the one from the early 80s, one of the very first Marvel graphic novels. The God Love Man Kills.
Oh, yeah, I have that one. That's one of my favorites.
So there's Wolfpack. And it was, I thought, was this part of the new universe they did? And I couldn't find anything about it. But it's just like, kind of like Gang, one of them kind of looking like Michael Jackson from the time. I haven't read it or anything like that. I just laughed when I saw it. I was kind of curious if it might be worth it. I'm assuming it's probably not worth the paper it's printed on, but.
So my question is this, though. So it looks like it's one of those silly, like, The Warriors type of, like, post-apocalyptic New York. That's what it looks like. I'm actually going to look up some info on it. But the thing that I noticed that made me intrigued about it was done by, of course,
Larry Hama.
Larry Hama, man, yeah. So that to me, what'd you say?
I don't know how that happened.
Well, I mean, Larry Hama, man, let's be honest, he's the father of G.I. Joe. Point blank, man.
Did they ever go back in value?
Excuse me?
Did G.I. Joe comics ever go back and up in value?
That I don't know, man. That I do not know. All right, here we go. I got it. Wolfpack. There are a group of five teenagers that reside in the South Bronx. They were originally selected for their extraordinary abilities and aptitude by a retired naval officer only known as Mr. Mac. According to ancient legend, the Wolfpack has existed. So basically, I guess they're kind of like, what?
Ancient legend.
What did I say?
No, I'm just saying that.
Oh, ancient. Yeah, okay.
You're about teenagers in the South Bronx, you're talking about ancient legend. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, apparently they had to battle the Nine. That was the other rival gang to protect the Bronx. So it does sound a lot like the Warriors. So, but you got me on that one. I was like, I have no clue what the hell you're talking about with the Wolfpack. But Larry Hama is the man. Which, by the way, there's a great BuzzFeed video out there about some facts you did not know about G.I. Joe, of which some of them I knew and some of them I did not know. So I tipped my hat to BuzzFeed for coming up with some cool trivia that I did not know about my beloved G.I. Joes.
BuzzFeed throws out a lot of lists. BuzzFeed throws out a lot of lists. So
yeah.
One of them is bound to stick. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you know, here's one of the ones I did not know. So every G.I. Joe, the small ones, the 3 3/4 inch ones, every one of them came with their own file card, a.k.a. their biography. Mm-hmm. So what's every state in the United States had a G.I. Joe, except for which one? Which state never had a G.I. Joe come from it in the mythology of G.I. Joe?
Hmm. What about D.C.? Is that how that counted?
Well, I know for a fact that there's some from Washington, D.C., but I don't think that counted. Okay. It was technically not a state. And there is one from West Virginia, so you can't play that card.
I'm going to go with South Dakota.
That's good. You know what? I picked Wisconsin for some odd reason, but that was incorrect. Because I was like, I don't think there's one from Wisconsin. Delaware. There's never a G.I. Joe from Delaware. Poor Delaware. So that was one of the few trivia questions I did not know. I was like, that's pretty cool. So, but nonetheless, G.I. Joe, such a simpler time. Such a simpler time.
Yeah. That cartoon held up well.
Well, it didn't, no. But again, like, man, I always say this. I like the comic book, because Larry Hama made some really gripping stories, and even as a young kid, I was like, this is much better. People are getting shot, people are dying, there's, like, love affairs, there is, you know, everyday troubles, and I don't know what that says about me as an 8-year-old kid, but I just loved the G.I. Joe comic, not so much the cartoon.
He got lazy at times. Sometimes he'd have an issue where there wasn't one quotation bubble. Nobody could talk.
Whatever. Come on. Terrible. You were referring to, of course, G.I. Joe number 21, the silent issue, which is awesome.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, nice.
Yes,
I've often said that if I get another tattoo, I want to get the Snake Eyes tattoo on my arm. You know, the one that him and Storm Shadow, they all had that little ninja clan thing on their arm.
You know, I agree that the comic book had good writing for him, but at the same time, the cartoon did give us the Weather Dominator.
The Weather Dominator. And I learned so many things from the cartoon, such as, you know, what happens if your house catches on fire? Because, you know, now I know, and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe. Yeah. So, all right, well, with that, we're getting up to about 55 minutes here. So I think we should probably start kind of wrapping things up, Matt. Typically, I let individuals plug anything that they have, any particular projects they got going on, or anything they'd like to talk about in terms of their social media or whatnot. So do you want to do that or no?
I have a couple sitcoms in the works, but I'm shopping them out. Right now it's on the Netflix and Amazon. We'll see.
The CW's not interested?
No, the CW's not interested. I don't. I may have to start a new trend of self-publishing. Just come to this random site, you know, just come up, you know. No, I have nothing to plug. Keep that in mind if I'm invited back on having something.
Oh, you. All right, you got something to plug. That's fine. Next time you come on. So, all right, with that, then I'm going to start wrapping things up. Listeners at home, I'm going to throw it to a real quick break, then I'll come back and talk a little bit about an upcoming event that I'm going to be part of, Ohio Championship Wrestling's big show on January 24th in Dover, Ohio. And also tell you where you can get in touch with me and all that stuff. You know, it's the huge. So right after this break, I'll be back with that. Matt, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey there, do you need a website? Maybe for your business or for your own personal use? Then you need to check out Bluehost.com. It's the web hosting service I, John Orlando, use for PVDcast.com. They've got great, helpful people. In fact, I've had some problems, and all I've done is chatted or called those folks, and bam, problem fixed. They've even got some great pricing, too, which, I mean, I won't talk about that, because all you got to do is go over to Bluehost.com, and you can find out all the information that you need. Take it from me. They're the best out there. Go to Bluehost.com to get all the details. The PVDcast is also available on Stitcher Radio. Head on over to Stitcher.com for all the details on how you can get Stitcher Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back here on the PVDcast, episode number 60. John Orlando here. Hopefully you found my conversation with my friend Matt to be entertaining and to be interesting. Matt and I have known each other for, man, almost 20 years. And we met, like I said, in college. And overall, he's a real good dude. And I feel lucky that I have such great friends. And he's wanted to come on this podcast and talk for a couple of months now. So I'm glad that I got the opportunity to give him a chance to come on here and just kind of kick back and be casual and frank and honest and give opinions on things and whatnot. So hopefully you found it interesting, and you know, if you didn't, let me know. And there's a couple different ways you can do that. First, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can tweet me at pvdmvp, and you can even find me on Instagram. pvdmvp is also the name or the username or whatever they call it on Instagram. Again, I'm going to admit that I'm actually somewhat impressed that I'm using Instagram much more than I thought I would. But nonetheless, there you go, at PVDMVP on Twitter, PVDMVP on Instagram, or shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, and let me know what you think about this particular episode. But before I leave, I've talked about this multiple times on this episode, I need to talk about Ohio Championship Wrestling. You know, Ohio Championship Wrestling is slated to come to Dover, Ohio at the Dover National Guard Armory on January 24th. That's about a Saturday from now, about a week from now. And you don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk about the big match that's going on that particular show. All right, we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, Ascension, which is an annual event that OCW has had for the last 5-6 years. Let me tell you, if you haven't seen one of these matches, quite frankly, you need to. Go over to YouTube. I know there's several video clips of previous matches, previous Ascension matches, I should say. Check them out. Because truly, it's one of the most awesome and also nerve-wracking matches that you can watch, ladies and gents. And I'll get into that in a minute, but let's talk about it real quick. Things are going to start off, okay? We're going to see a reverse battle royal to kick off Ascension, okay? And you may say, what's a reverse battle royal, John? Well, what it is that all the OCW superstars are going to come out and stand ringside. When the bell sounds, they're going to try to get into the ring. That's right. So that's stage one of Ascension. So if we get four individuals to get up the side of the ring, over the top rope, and they put their feet in on the mat, they automatically advance to the final stage of Ascension. And so once we get those four competitors, all right, then what happens, ladies and gentlemen, those four individuals will come back later on in the night and compete in a ladder match where the object is to climb the ladder and retrieve the brass ring for a future OCW heavyweight title shot, ladies and gents. And I'll tell you right now, I said it's nerve-wracking because, you know, as you watch these competitors compete, oftentimes I get a little nervous because you don't want to see a person, you know, such as maybe a Takahashi or a Big Guns Jeff Cannon or somebody that's, you know, a good person, a good dude, get injured. And let me just tell you right now, that's a real possibility. You're dealing with ladders. You're climbing up. If your opponent or opponents get up and throw you off that ladder, you know, Lord only knows where you're going to land. And that's what makes it an incredibly dangerous, but also an incredibly exciting match to watch. So I know that there's a couple of other matches already slated, and so this even makes it a little more challenging because if these individuals who already are booked in a match make it into Ascension, they got to wrestle several times in the show. But we do have the Ohio Heritage Championship on the line as Takahashi is going to defend his title against Justin Diaz, and that certainly will be an interesting match. Takahashi, a gentleman that's only been wrestling for a very short time, about 2 or 3 years, taking on a man that has wrestled for quite a long time. To say that Justin Diaz is a wily veteran is an understatement. It should be a very interesting match. And we got the OCW Tag Team titles on the line as the Redneck Wrecking Crew, Jock Sampson and Jeff Cannon, are going to take on The Rising. Of course, The Rising consists of Johnny Attitude and Broderick Shaw, managed, of course, by Jason Dragon. And we have Ascension, man. Again, it's like I said, one of the most amazing matches you're going to see, ladies and gents. If you can't make it out there, I don't know what to tell you, but you got to try to do your very, very best to get to Dover, Ohio, at the Dover National Guard Armory. More information is over on Ohio Championship Wrestling's website. That is www.ocwrestling.net. Head on over there. And while you're over there, you got to check out OCW Superiority. And what is that? Well, it's the official OCW Power Rankings. That's right. New for 2015. OCW is giving you an opportunity to take a look at individuals that are in the running for maybe being the OCW Heavyweight Champion. And, you know, it's no shock that the OCW Heavyweight Champion is always going to be number one because they're the champ. And right now, Robbie Superstar is, of course, number one on that current listing. You know what? What the heck? I'll run them down for you right now. All right, so you got in the number two slot, one half of the OCW Tag Team Champions, Big Guns Jeff Cannon. Number three, Takahashi, who's the OCW Ohio Heritage Champion. Number four, of course, is Jock Sampson, the other half of the OCW Tag Team Champions. Sitting in fifth place, Dark Star Matt Taylor. Number six is Caden Asad. Number seven, No Shame, Jimmy Shane. Number eight, Joey Vengeance. Followed by number nine, Juice Jennings. Number 10, a man that I just talked about, the wily veteran himself, Justin Diaz. Number 11, the pinnacle, Levi Connors. Number 12, Johnny Attitude. Number 13, True Grit, Bruce Gray. Number 14, Broderick Shaw. And rounding out OCW Superiority for the first time in 2015, Sherman Tank. Now, these will be changing up, ladies and gentlemen, after each particular event that OCW holds. You know, the powers that be are going to look at the win-loss records and see who moves up, who moves down, etc., etc. And it should be an interesting year here in Ohio Championship Wrestling, so I have to keep an eye on Superiority, which is the official power rankings for Ohio Championship Wrestling. And again, I'm just going to say one more time, ocwrestling.net is where you can get all the information. And by the way, if you missed that, I just want to mention real quick, I've added a whole links page to my website. So if you go to pvdcast.com and you want to check up on any of the people that have been on this particular podcast, I've put links right there, no matter who it is, whether it's the good people down at Big Fun Columbus, whether it's bluehost.com, who of course is the hosting service for this particular website, the pvdcast.com, or whomever. Just head on over to the links page, and eventually I'm going to get an archive section up there to get some of these past episodes up and rolling. So those are a couple of projects I got going on for this here podcast. But as time will tell, we'll see how productive I am about that archives page. I've been wanting to do that for a while now, so we'll have to see. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, oh yeah. All right, it's time for Orlando's Faves, which I hate to do this, but I guess I'm going to do it back to back. The last episode, I had Orlando's Faves / Orlando Hates. Unfortunately, it's another installment of that. All right, because again, this particular fave, and I think I've mentioned this before on this podcast, it's a fave of mine, but unfortunately, I got to kind of rag on it. So, all right, let's get into it. My fave for this episode of the PVD cast is the animated series on Cartoon Network, on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network, Black Dynamite. I'm a huge fan of the film. It's one of my favorite of all times, and several years ago, they came out with an animated series. I think it was like 8 episodes or so, and overall, it was okay. Some episodes were really funny, some were not so much. And lo and behold, just these past, I'd say, 8 weeks as well, they have Season 2. And again, Season 2 is about the same. You know, there's some really good episodes, there's some really bad episodes. But the culmination of Season 2 was Black Dynamite, the animated series, The Wizard of Watts, which was a musical, and it was a double episode, so it was an hour long. Ooh. This is where Orlando hates, because, man, it was not very good at all. I think the seasons have been pretty good. They've been pretty good. This was not. I don't, you know, mad props to all the folks involved in that animated series. I know they tried something different with a musical, but man, it wasn't too good. I mean, not, and it hurts me to say, because like I've said, I'm a big fan of the character, I'm a big fan of the universe that particular movie has created, but The Wizard of Oz was not very good. But hopefully, with season 3, if they do a season 3, it'll get back to the way it is, which is a pretty solid, comical animated series. So, I'm going to say, check it out, Black Dynamite, the animated series, although maybe not check out their musical, if you will. But, all right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up here. And one more time, I'm going to remind you that you can get in touch with me. My email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, on Twitter, @pvdmvp, also on Instagram, pvdmvp. With that, ladies and gentlemen, come on out the 24th of January and see me in Dover, Ohio for Ohio Championship Wrestling. And with that, I'm going to close up shop. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.